Good afternoon and welcome to Outlook Live. I'm Jean Rourke with the Federal Reserve and I'll be your facilitator. Today's topic, Healthy Communities, Opportunities for CRA Collaboration. Our speakers today are Elizabeth Sobel-Blum and Jason Keller. Before turning our call over to Elizabeth, let me run through our logistics on slide 2. If you haven't done so yet, click on the webinar link you received after registering, or you can head over to our website at www.consumercomplianceoutlook.org. There, you can find the session materials and eventually the archive of the call. Just a quick note on the webinar, we encourage you to listen to the audio through your PC, but if you need a phone option, we do have a limited number of them available. As for questions, please submit them anytime during our call by clicking on the Ask Question button. Okay, I want to make a special note about the documents in our materials section. There are a few extra handouts loaded in there. We'll be going over a number of scenarios during today's call, as the scenarios will involve polling the audience to gauge your understanding of the topic. We've prepared a couple of handouts with those scenarios and the CRA references that we will cover. And we recommend that you either have those open in the background or print them out to facilitate your viewing of this webinar. Okay, I'd like to remind you that we are offering continual professional education credits for attending this session. If you're interested in that, you must do two things. First, you must be registered for the session, and second, you must complete the post-session survey. All right, let me cover the legal language before turning it over to our speakers. The opinions expressed in this presentation are intended for informational purposes and are not formal opinions of, nor binding on, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. And with all of that out of the way, I will turn our call over to Elizabeth.
Thank you, Jean. My name is Elizabeth Sobel-Blum, and I am a Senior Community Development Advisor at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. At the Community Development Office, my role for the past 14 years has been to promote community and economic development and fair and impartial access to credit. Later, you will hear from Jason Keller. Jason has been with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago for 20 years, 13 years in supervision and regulation, doing consumer compliance, fair lending, and CRA examinations, and for 7 years in community development and policy studies with a similar mission as mine. We would like to recognize several examiners from across the system as well as the Board of Governors for their contributions to this presentation. I'd like to thank them for their efforts. Next slide, please. Slide 3. This slide details our purpose statement and agenda. At the end of this session, you will be able to better understand the Federal Reserve's community development function, as well as identify how Healthy Communities links to the Community Reinvestment Act, or CRA, from this point forward. We also intend to provide you with potential strategies to make sure that your Healthy Communities activities are considered in your CRA examination if they have a community development purpose. We will also provide a list of collaboration points to consider while evaluating healthy community strategies in everyday dealings. Next slide, please. We're now on slide 4. The Federal Reserve's community development function exists to support the Federal Reserve's economic growth objectives by promoting community and economic development and fair and impartial access to credit. While areas of expertise may differ from bank to bank, areas of focus often include affordable housing, community development finance, the Community Reinvestment Act, CRA, fair lending, healthy communities, personal financial education, small business and microenterprise development, and workforce development. The community development function supports banks in meeting their CRA obligations by 1, conducting research and writing publications, 2, convening organizations that serve low and moderate income, LMI, communities through conferences, roundtables, or other channels, and 3, disseminating information through various channels, including conferences, roundtables, and digital media. Next slide, please. Let's first define community development. Community development is an important component of community reinvestment and is considered in the CRA evaluations of financial institutions of all types and sizes. Community development activities are considered under the regulations large institution, intermediate small institution, and wholesale and limited purpose institution performance tests. In addition, small institutions may use community development activities to receive consideration toward an outstanding rating. We believe that community development generally improves the circumstances for low and moderate income individuals and stabilizes and revitalizes the communities in which they live or work. Before proceeding, let's do a quick polling question. Jean?
Okay, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I'm going to go ahead and pose our first polling question today. So I've pushed that polling question out to our participants, and I just want to let you know that a box should be popping up on the webinar player page for your view and for you to respond to. There are a couple of different ways for people to consume these webinars, meaning through the audio. If you are listening through the phone, you'll need to adjust the option in the media chooser. So there's a guide to that. It's posted in the materials section. It's the webinar FAQ. But just to let you know quickly, there's a gear on top of the slide window on the webinar player page. You select that, and you can select the phone option. If you're streaming through the audio through your PC, you don't have to worry about doing that. But I just wanted to let people know that that's one adjustment you need to make. Okay, so the question is, prior to today's Outlook Live webinar, how familiar were you with the Federal Reserve's interest in healthy communities? And there are three options: very familiar, somewhat familiar, or none. But I'm excited to learn more. I like that third option. But, all right, you make your selection, please. And I'm going to give you just a couple of seconds. I'm going to stop those polls from coming in, or the responses from coming in, and I'll show the results. And the results, hopefully, Elizabeth, you can see those results, but they are 45% of our participants say they are somewhat familiar, 39% say that they are not familiar, but they're excited to learn more, and 15% say they are very familiar. I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Jean. So as we expected, the poll shows us that we need to continue our outreach efforts on this initiative. So we'd like to thank you in advance for helping us spread the word. Next slide, please. So now let's define healthy communities. Healthy communities is a desired outcome under the definition of community and economic development. While a community and economic development initiative could involve an affordable housing developer, bank, or others partnering to build more affordable housing, a healthy communities initiative could involve the same group of organizations, but also include the local public health department and nonprofit hospitals. Together, they can make sure that the affordable housing is designed in a way to measurably improve residents' health. For example, the partners could commission a health impact assessment to determine how the housing development could most effectively promote health. It could have a courtyard, pedestrian walkway, community garden, store with inexpensive healthy foods, or other things that enable or encourage physical activity and healthy eating habits. The partners could also ensure that there is a health clinic on site, or provide residents with transportation to a hospital or clinic, or provide residents with computers and high-speed broadband so that they can access telemedicine. Next slide, please. We're on slide 7. The Federal Reserve System cares about healthy communities because health is an asset, and there is an inextricable, interdependent link between health, income, and education. In general, the more education you have, the more income you'll earn over your lifetime. Higher income translates into better health. For example, according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Commission to Build a Healthier America, children from low-income families are twice as likely to be overweight or obese than children from the highest income families. And more education often means longer life. According to the Commission, on average, 25-year-old college graduates can expect to live 8 to 9 years longer than their counterparts who have not completed high school, and 2 to 4 years longer than those who have attended but not graduated from college. In all, poor health hamstrings not only our quality of life, but also our economic competitiveness. So, good health is good for balance sheets at the individual level, to the regional economy, and the national economy. Next slide, please. We're on slide 8. Our zip code, where we live, tends to be a more accurate predictor of how long we live than our genetic code. And that is why, and I quote, across America, babies born just a few miles apart, let me start again. Across America, babies born just a few miles apart have dramatic differences in life expectancy. This map shows that in New Orleans, people who live in the French Quarter can expect to live, on average, until the age of 55, while people who live a few miles northwest in Lakeview can expect to live up to a generation longer, until the ripe old age of 80. This map is not unique to New Orleans. It's a pattern seen in cities across the country. Now, why do we see this pattern? It turns out that our health is mostly determined by our behavior and environment. According to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, 40% of our health status is determined by our education, employment, income, family, and social support, and community safety. 30% of our health status is determined by our health behaviors, including tobacco use, diet and exercise, alcohol and drug use, and 10% of our health status is determined by our air and water quality, housing, and transit. That means that only 20% of our health status is determined by our clinical care in terms of access to care and quality of care. I'd like to emphasize that this statistic does not trivialize the importance of medical care. Clearly, living in a healthy neighborhood is no consolation if you're sick and your illness could bankrupt your family, financially, physically, and mentally. For more information, please see countyhealthrankings.org for more details. Next slide, please. We're on slide 9. In 2014, the Dallas Fed published Healthy Communities, a Framework for Meeting CRA Obligations, which shows how banks can engage in healthy communities, It shows how healthy communities initiatives are the same thing as community and economic development initiatives. What's important to note is that they also strategically include the public health and the healthcare sectors in their work. This report includes an appendix of over 50 healthy communities experts across the U.S. It highlights their purpose and which healthy communities activities that they engage in. A link to the framework has been provided for your reference. Next slide, please. We are on slide 10. The purpose of the publication is to encourage mutually beneficial cooperation between banks and practitioners in public health. The next few slides are geared towards both parties who are looking to engage. Becoming well-versed in healthy communities requires knowing two things. One, the components of healthy communities, and two, who the experts are, as well as the programs and initiatives that they are engaged in. Accompanying the Healthy Communities publication is an appendix that lists dozens of prominent Healthy Communities leaders across the United States. It provides a summary of each entity's purpose and activities in their own words from their websites, and then a checklist of the Healthy Communities components that they focus on. To be clear, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas does not endorse these entities per se, but rather the work that they do to foster healthy living. Next slide, please. We're on slide 11. This is the Healthy Communities Checklist. I'd like to point out that aesthetics refers to a clean and well-maintained environment, landscaping, art, and culture. Building financial capacity refers to financial literacy training, quality financial services and or products that build and maintain assets. Built environment includes complete streets, housing, schools and workplaces, parks and playgrounds, pedestrian walkways and bike trails, brownfields and open spaces. Employment refers to creating and retaining jobs as well as job training. Social networks and social environment refers to democracy building and community engagement. To get started, banks can read the Community Health Needs Assessment of nonprofit hospitals in their local area. They can ask these hospitals as well as the local public health department and United Way if there are any health collaboratives that they can join. By participating in these collaboratives, they can learn in real time which investments, grants, and services are needed. You are encouraged to review the Q&A question and answer at point 12G2-1 for examples of how this may look. Next slide, please. We are now on slide 12. Over 50 experts are featured in the appendix. They are from across the country. This appendix lists experts in healthy communities and provides a synopsis of each entity's activities in their own words. The Low-Income Investment Fund, LIF, is one of these experts. The appendix highlights LIF programs and shows which of the 16 healthy communities components that LIF focuses upon. LIF is a community development financial institution that provides innovative capital solutions that support healthy communities and families. As a CDFI, LIF invests in projects that have high social value but may not be able to access the services offered by traditional financial institutions. In this way, LIF connects low-income communities with the capital markets. Its programs are focused upon affordable housing, childcare, education, green financing, healthy food, and transit-oriented development, TOD. As a reminder, this is just one example of the work of a healthy communities expert. Next slide, please. We are on slide 13. When it comes time for your examination, examiners will consider which activities you submit qualify under CRA and how those activities are responsive to local needs. All activities are considered under what we call performance context. Performance context is the information about a financial institution and its community that management can provide to their examiners to show the context in which that institution's record of performance can be evaluated. A financial institution's CRA performance is evaluated in the context of its competitors, the economic and social conditions of its assessment area, and other factors that impact the bank's ability to perform. Performance context, either written or unwritten, provides an institution the important opportunity to tell its CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, story. Telling examiners a comprehensive CRA story can help examiners understand why the activity qualifies for CRA consideration. When a bank wants to get involved in a community initiative that promotes healthy communities, it needs to do its due diligence, whether for CRA purposes or not. Questions to ask the leader or leaders of the initiative are written on this slide. Note that the answers to these questions, the information provided to you, the banker, are important to include when discussing the performance context to show that the activities meet the community development definition under CRA. For example, be explicit in how the activity benefits low and moderate income individuals or areas. Next slide, please. We are on slide 14. Here are some additional questions, namely how your institution helped the program, product, or service, and what has been the impact. Once you conduct your due diligence, if you're interested in getting involved with the Healthy Communities Initiative, you may want to talk to your primary regulator. Next slide, please. We are on slide 15. In the Dallas Fed's Healthy Communities publication, it provides a template of how banks can tell their community development healthy communities story. Please note that like any framework document, it's an optional template that some bankers may find useful. This slide and the next highlight the story's outline. Please note that when you show your examiner how you're meeting your CRA obligations, it is important to highlight the qualitative aspects of your performance. For example, your responsiveness to community needs and whether the activity was complex, be it through loans, grants, and/or services. Next slide, please. We are on slide 16. When you tell your story, be sure that you're not just talking about your outputs, such as, we gave a $1 million grant to this initiative. Make sure that you explain the impact of the grant, such as how many more people were able to get industry-recognized certifications and then got significantly higher-paying jobs. With that, I'm going to transition to Jason, who will take it from here. Jason.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. That was very informative. Now let's apply what we have learned here today. You will be presented with four scenarios on activities that link public health to community and economic development. Note that these scenarios may or may not be based on actual transactions. Regardless, the details were changed for the purposes of this exercise. Please note that you are encouraged to consult with your primary regulator on activities specific to your institution. We realize that these scenarios are fairly complex and may require more advanced knowledge, but we believe they will stir conversations within your institution. As a reminder, we have provided a handout with the applicable Q's and A's as well. That said, after each scenario is read, you will see a polling question on your screen. We will pause to give you an opportunity to vote and answer whether the scenario qualifies as a community development loan, investment, or service, or whether you may need more information before deciding. I advise you not to get caught up in the nuances, but rather try to focus on whether the activity or program qualifies as community development. Also assume that all scenarios apply to intermediate small banks or large banks. Let's move to scenario one, slide 18. To get us started, let's begin with scenario one. As a reminder, think about how the performance context may impact how you tell your story for each particular transaction. Here we go. A bank made a $1 million donation for a housing initiative surrounding three of its local clinics. The health system has partnered with a nonprofit that uses housing and other strategies to create opportunities for low and moderate income people. The nonprofit is a qualified CDFI and a long-respected affordable housing developer. It intends to work with the bank to fill a pipeline with qualified renters or borrowers. The goal will be to rehabilitate low-cost, affordable housing around the clinics so that chronically ill patients will have easier access to ongoing care. All right, let's head to the poll. Jean?
All right, thanks so much, Jason. All right, grab your mouse, everyone. Let's pose this polling question for scenario one. So you should see that box popping up on your screen now, and I'll read the question aloud for everyone. Scenario one, would this activity qualify as a, and the first option is community development loan, the second option is community development investment, the third option is community development service. Fourth option is all of the above. Or the last option, don't know, need more information. All right, I'm going to count in my head to five and give you a little bit more time to respond to that scenario one question. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and stop that poll and show the results. All right, and so Jason, I'm not sure if you can see those results, but I can, so I'll share them with you. Looks like 66% of our participants listed option B, community development investment. And then the second option was D at 15%, all of the above. So with that, I will turn it back over to you.
Great, thank you. The majority of you answered B, a community development investment. Good job. Based on the information included on the previous slide, the housing initiative appears to support affordable housing for low and moderate income persons, specifically patients who are chronically ill, to facilitate easier access to ongoing care. In demonstrating that this activity qualifies, the bank would want to have information from the health system for the target beneficiaries to ensure that the primary beneficiaries are LMI persons. Assuming that this is the case, the community development prong this one would fall under is affordable housing for low and moderate income persons. As a result, this donation would count under the investment test as community development. If the bank wanted to further its CRA-related impact, it may also think about tracking its service hours in preparing applicants to apply for mortgage credit or providing operating funds to the nonprofit that targeted this specific initiative. As Elizabeth mentioned in her comments, as you develop your performance context, it would be helpful to look at community health needs assessments prepared by local hospitals and clinics to identify whether there are any health needs that overlap with community development. Since this initiative was spearheaded by the regional health system, you'll likely find that the community health needs assessment identified affordable housing for the chronically ill as a need. By calling attention to this, you would be highlighting an example of the bank's responsiveness. We included the Q&A that addresses how examiners evaluate whether a financial institution has been responsive to credit and community development needs on the CRA Q&A references handout. In this example, if additional information is available to show the impact of the donation, for example, the number of affordable housing units created or the number of chronically ill LMI patients who benefited, that would help tell the story of the impact. Okay, let's move on to the next scenario. Slide 19, please. This one is slightly more complex. Here we go. The bank made a $1.5 million loan to fund a local food distributor's interest to teach the formerly incarcerated about urban farming, basic accounting, and other business skills needed to start farming operations. The food distributor serves multiple MSAs within the same state. The region has a mix of urban and rural centers, but several of the area's largest cities were designated as food deserts by the local mayor's caucus. The region is 25% LMI by geography, but there are pockets where LMI residents comprise 85% of the population. The warden of the regional correctional facility has committed to reducing recidivism and improving job access for nonviolent offenders. There are no income restrictions to participate, but participants commit to working at an urban farm for at least 12 months as a condition of their parole. This loan is the first of its kind in the state. Let's start the poll.
All right. Thanks so much, Jason. Let me pose that polling question for our audience. And I have posed it. Hopefully that box is popping up on your screen shortly. As you can see, I'm talking very slowly because I want everyone to have a chance to see that box pop up on their screen. Okay. So our polling question for scenario two, would this activity qualify as A? And our first option is community development loan. Option B is community development investment. Option C, community development service. Option D, all of the above. Or option E, I don't know, I need more information. So I am going to again stall just for a few seconds because I see that our results are still coming in pretty quickly and I don't want to stop the poll until everyone has a chance to respond. So Jason, they're still coming in pretty heavily, so I'm gonna keep stalling for another couple of seconds. I want everybody to be able to respond to this scenario two polling question. Okay, getting closer to the number I'm looking for. I can see those results still coming in. All right. This looks like a pretty good place to stop. Oh, we are so close to full number, so I'm going to just pause for a second. Okay, I'm going to stop that polling question and show the results, and let's see what those results are. Okay, so Jason, it looks like 58% of our participants chose option A, community development loan. And then the second place winner was E, don't know, need more information. So I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jean. The majority of you did answer A, a community development loan. I concur. As stated in the example, this is a loan to the formerly a facility that focuses on the formerly incarcerated, so individuals who are generally not employed at the time of release or are presumed to earn little to no money in jail, so these individuals would be considered lower moderate income persons. This scenario has elements of workforce development as well as job training targeted to lower moderate income persons as well. We included a number of the Q's and A's that reference workforce development on the references handout. In terms of responsiveness, this loan appears to meet a designated need, not just addressing food deserts and the need for healthy foods, but also an interest in reducing recidivism and improving job access for nonviolent offenders. Lastly, since this would be a first-of-its-kind program, a bank could reasonably claim that its loan was innovative since the activity is serving LMI populations in a new and more effective way, and likely a segment of the population that was not previously served. We included the Q&A that discusses innovativeness on the Q&A references handout as well. With this scenario, we want to stress that a project such as this one can be quite sophisticated. Banks are uniquely positioned as partners based on their financial acumen and ability to foster connections within the community. Let's move on to scenario 3. Slide 20, please. Here is the third scenario. A bank lent $35 million to a children's hospital for a community clinic and literacy center. The center includes a library, a pediatric clinic, an arts and music room, and an indoor-outdoor recreation center. The hospital will provide some of the construction funds through its charitable foundation. Construction and general operating funds will also come through a city grant program that encourages economic growth, and once built, the center will be operated through the Park District. The proposed development would be located on the site of a now-vacant strip mall in a middle-income census tract, but adjacent to several moderate-income census tracts. Can we please switch to the poll?
All right, thanks so much, Jason. I'm going to launch our next polling question in reference to Scenario 3. I'm going to wait till I see it on my screen. Okay, it is up on my screen, so I'm going to go ahead and read that question aloud. For polling question scenario 3, would this activity qualify as A, and I think you've heard these responses before, A, community development loan, B, community development investment, C, community development service, D, all of the above, or E, I don't know, I need more information. So I am just going to pause for a couple of seconds as we see a whole bunch of responses come in. Thank you so much for responding. And I'm going to count to 5 in my head. All right. Okay, so Jason, I'm going to go ahead and stop that poll, and I'm going to show the results. Hopefully that will pop up on your screen. And I see it on mine, so I'll share the results. It looks like 47% of our participants said A, community development loan, and a close 32% said, don't know, need more information. I'll turn it back over to you, Jason.
Great, thank you. The majority of you did answer A, a community development loan, but I see others said E, need more information. In this scenario, the bank considered this as a community development loan as they believed it would help stabilize and revitalize the adjacent moderate income areas and would offer community services targeted to lower moderate income individuals. While the project is in a middle income census tract, it was on the site of a vacant strip mall adjacent to several moderate income tracts. Q&A 12G-2 provides an example similar to this one. In that Q&A, the question was posted whether the community development activity has to occur inside a lower moderate income area for an institution to receive credit. The answer to this question included an example of a supermarket in a middle-income area that helped to stabilize a low-income community by providing needed shopping services that are not otherwise available in the low-income community. Similarly, in this example, the community clinic is in a middle-income census tract. However, the bank would have to demonstrate that the center served the moderate-income area and its services were not otherwise served by other organizations. Documenting the incomes at facilities that target youth can be a challenge, but not an impossible task. Banks often use the percentage of free and or reduced lunch from the local school district as a proxy for income, but requiring a facility or organization to report on the incomes of its users using other reasonably assumed metrics as a condition of receiving the financing is not an unrealistic ask. Secondly, some respondents may want to know how patients the clinic expects to see before considering the activity as community development, and also what percent receive Medicaid. If the clinic will comprise only 15% of the center's operating budget compared to the arts, music, and recreation areas, might that impact the decisioning? And literacy in a general term is a general term, so it might be helpful to have more detail on the kind of services the library will offer and whether those activities may qualify as community development. An additional documentation source could be in how local schools or other third parties, such as the YMCA or Boys and Girls Clubs, might work together to encourage utilization at the center. Also, under the CRAQs and A's, 21A3, the bank may want to refer to the definition of responsiveness. Here, examiners will consider quantity, quality, and performance context as to whether an activity qualifies. That means that the bank could argue that its effort to fund the center meets an unmet need in the area, thus qualifying it as community development. So banks could potentially receive credit for the loan, helping to revitalize lower moderate income areas, but E would have made a reasonable response, as additional information would have been helpful to demonstrate that the clinic or center provided services not otherwise provided in the area, or the local area residents, or the fact that the local area residents are predominantly LMI. This scenario supports the need for strong and verifiable documentation when qualifying activities as community development. This scenario also attempts to debunk a myth that only activities in LMI census tracts qualify as community development under the CRA. Let's move on to the final scenario. Slide 21. A local community college has borrowed $10 million for a new tech incubator and hub for local entrepreneurship development. The community college is in a suburban location, but is looking to build a new facility on its expanding campus. The loan will be repaid at market terms over 10 years. The proposed 30,000 square foot building will include collaboration space, a mock data center, a design studio, a digital coding lab, a shared industrial kitchen for learners. Applicants who are enrolled in the college will receive priority access to the incubator and hub. It is anticipated that the incubator and hub can serve 50 students per semester, but it is unclear at what cost. Let's move to the poll.
All right, thank you, Jason. Let me launch our fifth polling question today, and this is going to be in reference to scenario four. So I launched the polling. All right, I'm just going to wait to make sure that I see the box. Okay, mine is up there, so I'm going to go ahead and read that aloud for everybody. Grab your mouse so you can respond as well. Polling question for scenario four. Would this activity qualify as a, the first option is community development loan. Option B is community development investment. C is community development service. D is all of the above. Or E, I don't know, I need more information. Okay, so I'm watching our results. They are coming in really quickly. This is great. Grab your mouse, respond for us. The sooner you respond, the more quickly I can close out the polling question. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to just give it a couple more seconds. And all right, I'm going to go ahead and stop that poll and show the results. And Jason, it looks like, boy, 71% of your participants said, I don't know, I need more information. And then the second highest option at 17% was option A, a community development loan. So with that, I'm going to remove those results, and Jason, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Jean. Some of you answered A, a community development loan, but I would argue that E is the better answer. Based on the limited information we have here, it appears the bank is only being asked to fund the construction of the building. So bankers would have to document the ongoing impact of the facility rather than the temporary jobs created during the construction period. Q&A 12H-5 makes specific reference to the short-term benefits to low and moderate income individuals. Specifically looking at it as a construction loan only, the loan would not be considered a community development loan as the indirect benefit to LMI persons from construction jobs or the increase in the local tax base would not meet a community development purpose. As it pertains to the tech incubator, we are lacking information on where the college is located and the percentage of low and moderate income students served. If the college is not located in an LMI census tract or the number of students attending are not classified as LMI, it may be more difficult to qualify as community development. However, the activity still could qualify as economic development if the bank could document how its efforts both met the size and purpose test in its effort to finance certain businesses and farms, or how it provided job training under the regulation. For example, if the tech incubator provides funds to help the students start up businesses using loans, investments, or even providing technical assistance to the small businesses that originate through the tech hub, the loan potentially would fall under the economic development prong of community development. Q&A 12G3-1 addresses the economic development piece as it relates to financing or technical assistance or support services for small businesses. The final question surrounds the prioritization of current students. Obtaining more information on how the Innovation Hub markets its services to ensure they are not meant to be exclusionary to certain populations will be key. Determining whether there are any elements of revitalization or stabilization in the community may be a factor as well. This scenario attempted to remind the audience today that health and its relation to community development is important in both urban, suburban, and in fact rural communities as well. Slide 22, please. In closing, I hope you found working through the scenarios helpful. Again, we advise you to consult your local Federal Reserve Community Development Office for more information or your primary regulator. There are good reasons to modernize CRA. Industry consolidation and adoption of new technologies have resulted in increasing provision of banking services beyond where banks have their branches. In addition, there may be opportunities to bring greater clarity and certainty to how a bank's CRA performance is assessed. An ANPR provides an opportunity for regulatory agencies to ask high-level questions in advance of issuing a Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or an NPR. The OCC's CRA ANPR provides background on the CRA, explains the changing banking environment, and seeks comments on the current regulation and ideas about modernizing the regulation using a metric-based framework. We think an ANPR is a good starting point gather input on the impact of the significant advancements in technology and other changes in the financial services marketplace since the regulations were last revised. External stakeholders are encouraged to submit comments in response to the ANPR since all agencies will benefit from the suggestions that result from the ANPR. Comments are due 75 days from the publication in the Federal Register, so in this case, on or before November 19, 2018. I will now turn the microphone back to Elizabeth for some summary remarks. Elizabeth?
Thank you, Jason. Those were thought-provoking scenarios. Let me now offer some summary remarks. Today's community development landscape continues to evolve, thus opening the door to new partnerships and opportunities to engage constituents that otherwise were previously unknown. Banks are encouraged to think more broadly about the impact of their loans, investments, and services in the communities they serve, but documenting these efforts can be challenging. Today, we have seen examples of partnerships between banks, hospitals, community health organizations, and others form in urban, suburban, as well as rural areas across the country. Conducting interviews, hosting roundtables, or peer group meetings may be effective strategies in identifying shared challenges and opportunities for collaboration under the Healthy Communities umbrella. We have included links to other recommended readings to learn more about this topic. We have also provided a list of acronyms and abbreviations as well. We thank you for your participation in this Outlook Live session, and I will turn it over to Jean for questions. Jean.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you, Jason, as well. So just to remind our participants, you can submit your questions today, and Jason and Elizabeth will respond to those, and all you have to do is use that Ask Question button. Now, we have had a couple of questions come in, so I'll start at the top while we wait for more questions. So the first question is, prior to the CRA exam, when do our internal analysis, prior to the CRA exam, when we do our internal analysis, how do we really know if our donations, loans, services, et cetera, are satisfactory? What should we be basing the numbers on?
Thank you, Jean. This is Jason. I'll take that one. The easiest answer to this question is really based on the performance context. Every financial institution needs to have a strong understanding of the needs, the community and economic development needs within their assessment area or assessment areas they serve. So there are not specific numbers that a financial institution needs to base its analysis on, but I think the stronger self-analyses are able to articulate a community need and then identify to examiners when and how the financial institution is responding to those. Recent talks I've given have focused on impact and the idea that numbers are one indicator, number of individuals served, number of units built, number of sessions held on a given topic. However, I've been advising financial institutions to be able to have a stronger presentation in describing what the actual impact of those numbers are. And everyone is going to be a little bit different. So is it the number of individuals served? Yes. But what was the market demand? How was the bank innovative in its efforts? And what sort of partnerships did that bank foster in order to move transactions through the pipeline? So the short answer is when do you really know? You'll know it when you know it, and examiners may be able to help you along with that. But my recommendation is to be strong in your analysis, provide backup support where you can, and documentation, documentation, documentation.
All right. Thanks so much for that, Jason. Our next question, do you have a good way of defining affordable housing when it comes to CRA? I'm trying to define it in a way that loan officers will understand.
Yeah, Jean, I can take this one too. So examiners use a combination of definitions, but essentially if we just go off the HUD definition, thinking about housing for which the occupants are paying no more than 30% of their income for gross housing costs, which may include utilities. The idea of what affordable is in one market may or may not be affordable in another. So using demographic data and census data, American Community Service or census data would be another avenue to do this. But in thinking about how loan officers would want to understand this, it's really understanding the development itself and what the target is. I think where banks sometimes trip up is that they have documentation in the file that says a certain percentage is set aside as being affordable, but they don't often know after the loan how many of those units were filled with candidates that would qualify based on their income thresholds. And then again, that may stifle their discussion around impact of that individual development. So loan officers are going to be in the best position to work with that developer of knowing what that set-aside is, but I advise banks or CRA officers to double back to check those calculations and document, if you can, the number of individuals that actually moved into those developments as designated being affordable.
Thank you so much, Jason. Okay, we have a couple of additional questions that have come in, and so the next question is, what examples are there for early childhood development?
I'll take that one. So when we talk about early childhood development, sometimes that refers to Sometimes when organizations are referring to early childhood, it means they're ages 0 to 5, while other times it means the first 3 years, ages 0 to 3. But regardless of how someone's defining early childhood as infancy and toddlers, infants and toddlers versus kids all the way up until kindergarten, what it refers, the types of initiatives that we see, we tend to see supported by foundations such as Harlem Children's Zone, the Kresge Foundation, Annie E. Casey Foundation, Low Income Investment Fund, Living Cities, Neighborhood Centers, the Nonprofit Finance Fund, et cetera. All of these organizations that I just listed are listed in the Experts in Healthy Communities appendix, which accompanies the Healthy Communities publication that at the Dallas Fed we published in 2014. So what I would suggest that if anybody wants to know about what collaboratives exist in early childhood in their respective assessment area, is to look at this appendix that has experts that specifically are focusing on early childhood development. It could be 0 to 3 or it could be ages 0 to 5. And then call these different organizations, look on their websites, and also contact these organizations if none of them are listed or in your respective assessment area, and ask them if they know of any, who else they would recommend that they contact, that because they probably are part of a national network of organizations who are involved in early childhood, and ask them about which collaboratives are happening specifically in your assessment area.
All right, thank you so much, Elizabeth. All right, let's go to the next question. What was the correct answer to scenario 3?
Thank you, Jean. So this one, I would presume that E, need more information, is probably the best answer. This one, we're missing some documentation elements on who the individuals served and exactly what role the clinic will have in meeting those area needs. So while I do agree that it is easy to say that it's a community development loan, I think, again, just in this short scenario, we need some more information. But I'll echo one more time that while hospitals are a good source for data, some of them may need, or health clinics may need, coaching from a community development perspective on exactly what information a banker would need to provide to its examiner. We've been doing outreach here in the 7th District in Chicago to hospitals specifically, talking to them about, again, that very fact. So thinking about fostering stronger partnerships between financial institutions subject to CRA and hospitals and health clinics, we see as a leading practice across the country.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Jason. Our next question. Would the funding of a fire truck that services an LMI community qualify?
So this one comes up quite a bit in examinations, especially in rural areas. And my initial response, again, but I would advise you to confirm with your regulator, is that fire trucks being part of a healthy community would qualify for CRA credit. I think where you get into some questions or may have some questions come from examiners, obviously if there is a fire or the fire truck is being called, the fire department does not ask for the income level or think about the market that it is serving before it goes out to make the call. However, that I think that there, with reasonable documentation, remember from the July 2016 CRA Q's and A's, banks can get CRA credit for infrastructure improvements around stormwater treatment and other Main Street redevelopment strategies, and I would think fire trucks and other utility-type vehicles that foster healthy communities would fit nicely under the Community Reinvestment Act. But in closing on this one, I still advise you to consult with your primary regulator.
Okay, thanks, Jason. All right, our next question is, Typhoon Yutu passed through the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas Islands last week, damaging 1,000 homes, taking the roof off 500 homes, knocked down 500 concrete hardened poles. Water and electricity hookup is 2 to 8 weeks away. An organization, Young Marianas Professionals, are seeking funding to go from village to village and assist the community and FEMA with cleanup. This is also a FEMA-declared disaster. Would funding and also providing volunteers be considered community development?
I can take this one. This offers a very good plug for a recent publication from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas entitled Weathering the Storm, a Framework for Meeting CRA Obligations. As the publication that Elizabeth referenced earlier on healthy communities, the Dallas Fed just in August of 2018 posted a similar framework on disaster and disaster recovery. Again, a very extensive amount of information referencing specific CRA questions and answers, as well as various disaster recovery resources that can be used across the country. I think this is a very strong publication, but what I will reference specifically is that financial institutions may, and I repeat, may get CRA credit for from a loan, investment, or service perspective, focus on disasters if they have proven, outside of their assessment area, if they have proven to meet the needs within their assessment area. So I don't know if this particular question, there are regulated banks that are in that market, but banks, I think about disasters from Katrina, I think about the Superstorm Sandy, I think about recent flooding in other markets. If it is a federal a declared disaster area, banks may receive CRA credit for providing banking services in those markets, even if they are not physically located there, provided that they are able to document that they are serving their own markets as well. So disaster recovery is something that should be on everyone's mind, but this publication from the Fed in Dallas is a good source to be able to learn more.
Okay, thanks for that, Jason. I'm going to ask one more question, but we are approaching the end of our call, so let me just get this one last question in. How would a small bank receive CRA credit for providing a loan to construct a federally qualified healthcare center in a low to moderate income area?
All right, I will take this last one. Again, financial institutions wishing to receive an outstanding rating may provide examiners with their community development loans, investments, and services. However, as we all know, this is not required. But I would think that based on the Q's and A's that have been referenced in this webinar, as well as other documentation within the framework document that Elizabeth referenced earlier, there is a strong argument for a small bank receiving CRA credit to construct an FQHC in a low moderate income area. I would just suggest that the documentation be strong and specifically talk about how, if not for that specific bank's effort, that particular transaction may not have come to fruition. So again, document what that bank's efforts were, but knowing that it's a small bank, if that bank is looking to receive an outstanding rating, I say put it in there and let examiners consider it moving forward.
Okay, thanks for that, Jason. I'm going to launch our last polling question. So I just activated that in the webinar. Hopefully that is popping up on your screen now. Squeeze this last polling question in before we all part ways. I am waiting for it to pop up on my screen, but I don't see it yet. So hopefully everyone else can see it on their screen. I'll read it aloud for our participants. I'm also not seeing any results yet. Okay, and Jason is telling me he can't see it. Oh, that is unfortunate. Well, it does not look like, oh, there it is. Okay, it's popped up on my screen, so hopefully everybody else can see it too. After today's Outlook Live webinar, how likely are you to link healthy communities to your community and economic development efforts? The options are very likely, somewhat likely, and not now, but I'm going to consider it in the future. So I'm going to wait for those results to come in. Looks like they are slowly coming in. So as those results come in, I'm going to just give some closing remarks here before we officially close out our call. All right. So we'll be sending an email with a link to our survey. Please take a moment to fill that out. We read every single response and strive to make our sessions better based on your feedback. And I would like to thank our presenters and the Outlook Live team for their time. As a quick reminder, remember to check our website, www.consumercomplianceoutlook.org, for the archive of this call and for information on upcoming sessions. So it does look like we have a whole bunch of results. Before we close out officially, let me see if we can share those results to see what people thought. You know what, Jason, I don't see the results quite yet. I'm going to see if I can sneak the results. Okay, I see it in the admin view, and it says that 41% are very likely, another 41% are somewhat likely, and 18% say not now, but I'm going to consider it in the future. Okay, with all that out of the way, I'd like to thank our participants for joining us today. This concludes today's Outlook Live webinar. Enjoy the rest of your day.